Lucis Trust, a non-profit, non-political, and non-sectarian organization on the roster of the Economic and Social Council of the United Nations and concerned with the establishment of world cooperation and goodwill, presents Inner Sight with your host, Robert Anderson. He, with Sarah and Dale McKechnie, President and Vice President of Lucis Trust, will discuss philosophical and spiritual topics essential to everyday life. Now here's your host, Robert Anderson.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to Inner Sight. Inner Sight is simply seeing that which is always present, but not yet fully recognized. You have within you the ability to see yourself and the world around you in a new way, with new eyes. So stay with us, and together we'll look at the world and ourselves with inner sight. Today is a climaxing time of change. Humanity is passing through an extremely difficult transition period in which old forms are dying out, and new ones are coming to life, with all the accompanying pain, chaos, and disruption. Always in such times, a great teacher comes forth. And today our topic is a time of expectancy. And what we're going to do is we're going to have a gift for you today, and you'll just have to call us up in order to receive that gift, and we'll tell you what that gift does somewhere later in the show. But in the meantime, I'd like to start with our questions for Sarah and Dale. What are some of the signs that indicate a great teacher and a world savior is coming into the world?
One sign is a very ancient one. It's a statement from the Bhagavad Gita of Hinduism. That statement that Krishna is supposed to have made is, whenever there is a withering of the law and an uprising of lawlessness on all sides, then I manifest myself. Well, when we think about Christ, who came at when the dying embers of the Roman Empire were most visible, there was lawlessness, there was a lack of morality, of civility, and a kind of anarchy on a social level. And you can look at the world now and see a similar condition, I think. How does one know that this age is more lawless than previous times? That's hard to claim, but there is a sense, I think, that people are operating more and more on their own code and not with the sense of being part of a larger society.
Yes, the withering of the law is seen in the evil tendencies that are coming to light.
And what do we mean by evil? It's a popular word these days.
Yeah. It has many meanings to whoever you're talking to, but it's the selfish tendencies, the greed, all of that negative tendencies, the separativeness,
the hatred,
especially the hatred, and all of that is coming to the surface of consciousness, and it's producing a lot of negative reactions in the world, and all of this is coming to the light, and it's all good, because all of this is like buried in human subconscious, and it has to come up somehow, somewhere.
Mm-hmm. Another famous statement that related to the time of expectancy is that all things shall be shouted from the housetops. And that certainly is a condition we see today. Everything is becoming, as you say, uncovered.
Yes, and the media is playing a good mm-hmm. part of uncovering a lot of this, because mm-hmm. that seems to be what they like to do. They like to scour around and...
Well, it's their duty in a way, isn't it?
And they represent the forces of light in a way, mm-hmm. because they are shedding light on the evil tendencies that... are just lying there in human consciousness, and which result in human actions.
Yeah, so if it seems like the present age is a time of one exposé after another, in a way it is an extraordinarily revealing time and an exposing time for long buried things to be coming to the surface. And when we look at it as a positive sign of the expectant return of a world teacher or a world savior, then it makes one feel more positive about life. I think another sign of this expectancy is the almost pervasive expectancy in most of the great world religions for a world teacher or a world savior. It isn't only Christianity, but Judaism looks for the Messiah. And in fact, the word Christ, which I think is Latin in origin, and the word Messiah, which is Hebrew, both, interestingly, mean the same thing, the anointed one. One who is consecrated or set aside for a special mission. So these religions seem to be expecting the same type of being. And Hinduism awaits the Kalki avatar. Islam looks for the Imam Mahdi. Buddhism expects the Maitreya. And these are all different names, different religious teachings about a central world figure, a world teacher.
And also the fact is that we are coming to the end of an age, as it said in the opening quote there, and the beginning of a new age. And this is a new 2,000-year period in the beginning right now. And the old energies and forces of the old age, what is called sometimes the Piscean Age, is fading out. And the influence is fading away with it. But
that's an astrological statement, isn't it? The end of an age and the beginning of a new age.
So it's it's the beginning of a whole new cycle with new energies coming in. And this represents an ideal time for a new, well, not a new teacher, but the for this great world teacher to come onto the scene and present some new teachings, some new revelations, and in fact advance the ongoing revelation a little further for human consciousness.
Well, it certainly is interesting that not only biblical prophecy, but even going back to ancient wisdom, prophesizes that during times such as we're having now, that a great teacher comes forth into humanity to help. I guess that was perhaps true for Buddha as well.
Yes.
This teacher is referred to as an avatar. What is an avatar?
An avatar is a Sanskrit word. I think it means literally one who comes down from far away, from a high place. The idea of that term is to imply that this being comes from a very high level of consciousness, of spiritual realization, descends to earth, to humanity, to embody a new quality. You mentioned Buddha. Buddha is an avatar who came to embody and demonstrate, manifest the quality of light. All his teaching was about light, the light of the mind, the indwelling light within all human beings that needs to be awakened and revealed. And his famous last sermon, in which he said, "Be a lamp unto your own feet," was his teaching that we all have this light within us that we can shine upon our own way. We have the means of our salvation within us, and we don't need to look for it outside of ourselves. And Christ was the embodiment of the energy of love in its most pure sense.
Yes, there have always been these, what they call divine intermediaries, and it's the great cycle of intermediaries that have come down representing God to humanity.
Is that what you mean by an intermediary mediating between God and man?
Because Christ came to anchor the divine love of God, and he did that 2,000 years ago. And that was the first time that he appeared as this divine intermediary. And so he, in order to advance this revelation further, he must continue to come, because his work, as we are told, work isn't finished yet. There is more to be revealed. And so there are different kinds of intermediaries, different, men and women of different stature, and Christ perhaps represents the highest and greatest of the stature. And when he comes, what he does, he sets a new note for a whole civilization, in a sense, whereas lesser intermediaries may just affect a particular religion or a particular culture or civilization.
I think we've talked about this before, that there are lesser avatars and greater avatars. And the writings of Alice Bailey go quite a bit into this concept, particularly her book, The Externalization of the Hierarchy, talks about the doctrine or the teaching on avatars. And it's interesting, there are examples like Leonardo da Vinci, Shakespeare, Lincoln, who are lesser avatars. One of the Bacons, Francis or Roger, I never remember which.
I think both of them, actually. Both? It was the same soul.
They are examples of lesser avatars in the sense that they embody a particular quality that is needed for their time and age. But the greatest avatars, like you say, are beings like Buddha and Christ, who, in a sense, they're an event that the world is forever changed by. That's a poorly constructed sentence, but they make such an impact that humanity is forever redirected in its course.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what's so incredible and so wonderful, to think about this being a time of expectancy of yet another avatar who will lift us up a notch and help us to redirect our course. Goodness knows we need it.
For those people who just tuned in, you're listening to Inner Sight. And Sarah mentioned Alice Bailey a moment ago. Alice Bailey is the founder of the Lucis Trust organization. Lucis Trust sponsors this show, Inner Sight. And Alice Bailey wrote 24 volumes of spiritual philosophy literature, and all of the dialogue on this show, including this theme that we're pursuing today, is it emanates from the works of Alice Bailey, from one of the 24 volumes of books. And by the way, the book that most of the material today comes from is called The Reappearance of the Christ. And I guess also many people out there are interested in that gift we're giving away. We're giving you a pamphlet. If you'd like to, you can give us a call on our toll-free number. In order to read the pamphlet, it's called The Coming One. And I think you'll find a lot of today's discussion represented in that pamphlet, and it goes into it in good depth. And in greater depth, of course, is the larger book, The Reappearance of the Christ. Give us a call if you'd like that that gift sent to you. The gift, once again, is called The Coming One. Give us a call on our toll-free number, 1-866-695-8247. If you'd like that gift sent to you, just give us a call on the toll-free number. Once again, it's 1-866-695-8247. An easy way to remember is 1-866-NY-LUCIS. Think of New York Lucis. Lucis is L-U-C-I-S. That's 1-866-NY-LUCIS. And I'd also like to invite you to join us, but before I join, I ask you to join us, I just want to answer the most frequently asked question, and that is, is Lucis Trust a religion? No, we're not a religion. We're a spiritual philosophy organization, and if you meet with some of the people who come to join us from time to time, you'll find people from all backgrounds and all walks of life, and we very often find a lot of commonality and a lot of things that are good in everybody's background and in a variety of religions. But if you'd like to, at this time of the year, we have our Festival of Goodwill, and it's one of our most important public meetings, public conferences. And all people are welcome to join us at the Festival of Goodwill. It takes place on Saturday, May 25th, and you'd be welcome to attend and meet with other people who share an interest in this work and teaching. And if you'd like to, you can write or call for a meeting schedule and a conference program. Once again, if you'd like to call and you want a conference program and you'd like to join us on Saturday, May 25th at the Festival of Goodwill, give us a call at 1-866-NY-LUCIS. Think of New York LUCIS, 1-866-NY-LUCIS, L-U-C-I-S, or 1-866-695-8247. We have much more that I'd like to discuss. I'm fascinated by this topic myself, and I'd like to ask more questions about the time of expectancy, which is our theme for today, about the coming once again of a great teacher who's going to more or less set things right, I hope, because we certainly need him right now, or her. Could be a her too, I guess. What will the coming one teach? And when he does come, what will he teach? And will it be something new?
Well, he will teach what humanity needs next to learn. Mm-hmm. And I'm not being coy about that. He will help us to take the next step. If you think about the fact that God is said to have never left himself without witness, as Scripture says, then there's a continuity of revelation that's implied in that. Stage by stage, step by step, humanity is helped to move forward on its evolutionary path. And what do we think would be the next quality that the coming one would embody and teach humanity about? Well, the writings of Alice Bailey say that it will have to do with equality, which will be the revelation of the coming one. That's very interesting to me, because we give so much lip service to the ideal of equality, especially in American society. All men are created equal, the Declaration of Independence says. And yet we look around us in society and we know that's not true. In one sense it is. We are all created by God. We are all precious in the eyes of God. But we're not all at the same level of attainment or of contribution to society. So our understanding of equality, I think, really needs some refining. And it's said by Alice Bailey that the Christ will teach us, or if we want to call this coming one by another name, that's fine. He will teach us something about equality. I suppose a spiritual equality, something about the inner divinity within every human being, don't you think?
Yes, it would be the equality based on the on the revelation of the soul, I mm-hmm. would think, because that's the next great awakening that humanity must come to. It's the fact of the inner spiritual self, and that's where the oneness of humanity is realized.
Do you think that the present events in the Middle East, for example, and in Afghanistan, and the attacks of September 11th might be related to that preparation?
I think it's related to the preparation, yeah, because also one of the requirements necessary to prepare for the coming of this world teacher is the establishing of right human relations, and this mm-hmm. is repeated over and over again in the Bailey books, the need for establishing right human relations as a prerequisite for peace in the world.
It's also, I think, a demonstration of the soul in the sense of the pain that the people in both mm-hmm. the Palestinian people and the Israeli people, the Afghan people, the Americans who lost loved ones, the pain of human suffering today is so intense that I think that evokes us, or should evoke, a sense of the soul, even in one's so-called enemy.
Yes, because you try everything and you try all kinds of violent ways and this mm-hmm. and that way, and finally you sit down and exhausted and allow that soul to come mm-hmm. through, and it provides the way out of liberation from all of that past destructive ways.
Yeah, if you look at the suffering, could you not say, if I hurt this much, those people must hurt just as much?
Oh, sure.
And that is one expression of the soul, of the equality of suffering, the equality of aspiration. but this is one lesson that the coming one will bring. Another is implied in the books of Alice Bailey, that the teaching of some new understanding of the spiritual will be the mission or the purpose of the avatar, the coming one, when he next returns.
And I've read also in one of the, in fact, in this book, The Reappearance of the Christ that we mentioned today, the another thing that the coming one will teach will be the law of rebirth. And we've talked about that before, which is commonly referred to as reincarnation. But the fact of the law of rebirth, you know, the rebirth of the soul from lifetime after lifetime.
I think society is really prepared for that lesson because they've mm-hmm. taken polls of, well, at least the American population, and some huge percentage, over 60% of people believe in the basic doctrine of reincarnation. So
that's the way it's going to happen. I don't think we have to wait for scientists to tell us that this law is, you know, this mm-hmm. is a fact, or we don't have to wait for the ministers or our priests or our bishops or whoever to tell us this is a fact, but it'll come right from the realization through every human being that this must be so, because mm-hmm. it's the only real just way for the working out of our striving for perfection.
This sensing of the coming one, of what humanity's need and next step might be, I think is related to the fact that these avatars are both human and divine. And that's an essential point to emphasize about these beings. They are, as maybe it's the Bible that says, flesh of our flesh and spirit of our spirit. It is the fact that they are human and divine that gives them the understanding of human need and human suffering, human weakness, human potential. They are of us, but mm. progressed beyond ordinary, normal human beings enough to serve, as you said, as an intermediary between divinity or God and humanity.
Yeah, they've been through, and this is where the law of rebirth comes in, because they've been through the human stage many, many times, and they've evolved beyond it, and their consciousness is now so far beyond our strictly human understanding that they have reached that stature of avatar. Mm-hmm. And that's true in the terms of, in the sense of Christ or in the Buddha.
To me, that's one of the things that's so appealing, if that's the word, about the Buddha and the Christ. Both of them I think of as beings who have seen it all and understand all that is potential and nascent in humanity. Mm-hmm. They are, I think you could say, shockproof, and they look clear-eyed directly into humanity. They see our weaknesses, our terrible sins and errors, but they also see potential and believe in our highest and best self. And this unwavering conviction that humanity is capable of better deeds, better relationships, is what they hold before us, that confidence in us that I find really mobilizing.
Yeah, they've been through the stages. They've seen it all, as you said. And another thing that impresses me, that we must, they want the world to know about, is this inner spiritual hierarchy, the existence of not only the Christ and the Buddha, but there are many other great beings, these masters of the wisdom, as they call them, who have also gone through the human stage. And there's a considerable hierarchy that exists on the inner planes, and these are what also we must also be revealed in the coming mm-hmm. Centuries.
Yeah, it's a tremendous group effort that's
right.
Part of this.
They're not coming alone.
Return.
Yeah.
Well, I welcome their coming. We certainly need them right now. Is there anything people have to do to prepare for this teacher?
Well, it's related to what we just said about this tremendous group involvement of the Masters of the Wisdom or the Hierarchy supporting and aiding the return of the coming one. So, too, can we play a part? The Alice Bailey teachings speak of the new group of world servers, which is a term for all men and women of goodwill who are actively engaged in world service, service to humanity in all fields, finance, culture, arts, education, science, religion. All of us can, whatever our present situation is, think of ourselves as part of this tremendous group preparation of human consciousness for the return of the coming one. How would we help? Well, we could help by creating better human relations within our own environment.
We can also help, I think, by sounding the Great Invocation, which is the prayer that Sarah sounds at the end of each of our programs. And everybody, if anybody wants a copy of that, they're welcome to it, and we'll send it to them. And everyone can use this prayer, this mantra. And if you think deeply about the meaning of the words, you are contributing in a subjective way to the new atmosphere that is necessary in preparation for this divine teacher to come forth.
Yeah, the Great Invocation works with human consciousness by invoking divine energies of light and love and power. And when we say the Great Invocation, we're creating a conduit or a channel for these inpouring divine energies into human consciousness, where they can reach and make impact on the minds of all intelligent thinking people. It isn't a manipulation of human consciousness, but a stimulation of it, so that those minds that are capable of responding to light and love and power can be somehow energized and quickened. And when we think of the burdens and the responsibility that world leaders bear today, if we would work with the Great Invocation and bring more light, more love, more power to help them in their decisions on behalf of humanity, that's a tremendous service, and we can all play a part.
All the work of the Lucis Trust, including this radio program, is funded by the voluntary donations of people like yourselves who support the goals of the Lucis Trust. We're not endowed, nor do we have a wealthy benefactor who helps to pay for this program. We depend on the donations, large and small, of individuals. So please give if you want these programs to continue on the air, and I hope you have your pen, because donations can be sent to Lucis Trust, 120 Wall Street, New York, New York, 10005. And if you'd like the gift that we're sending out, just give us a call on our toll-free number. It's 1-866-695-8247. The easy way, 1-866-NY-LUCIS. That's about all the time we have for our discussion today. You've been listening to Inner Sight. Now we would like to close with a world prayer called the Great Invocation. It's a call for light and love and goodwill to flow into the world and into our hearts. Let's listen for a moment to these powerful words.
From the point of light within the mind of God, let light stream forth into human minds. Let light descend on earth. From the point of love within the heart of God, let love stream forth into human hearts. May the coming one return to earth. From the center where the will of God is known, let purpose guide all little human wills. The purpose which the masters know and serve. From the center which we call the human race, let the plan of love and light work out, and may it seal the door where evil dwells. Let light and love and power restore the plan on earth.